Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
There are relationships that are better for children than others. Now, some people might say that's, well, kind of the 21st century equivalent of heresy. Are you trying to tell me that if it's two fathers or two mothers, or let's add in the new twist, two fathers and two mothers, or maybe one mother and three fathers, whatever combination you have, you're trying to tell me that's going to somehow harm children, that children may even be physically harmed by that relationship? Well, society is going to tell you, no, the children are perfectly safe, and they may even do better with that kind of diversity of parenting. Is it true? Joining us to talk about child abuse in polyamorous homes, Katie Faust. She's founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Child Abuse is More Likely in Polyamorous Homes, Like the Woman with Four Boyfriends. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Katie, what do the advocates of polyamory claim about children?
Well, the ones that work their way into the headlines these days tell us that kids love it. And that it's really the future of relationships, because it's more adults to care for the kids and take care of their needs, and the kids will be happy if the adults are happy. And obviously, multiple people in a relationship make these adults happy, and so it must be good for kids.
There was a recent story about a 20-year-old Tori Ojeda. What is her situation, and what did the media make of it?
So back in December, I saw this posted in numerous outlets, kind of gossipy outlets, but a couple that were a little more legitimate as well, heralding this woman and her four live-in boyfriends, right? And she was announcing that she was 7 months pregnant. They were all going to raise the baby together. All over the place, they talked about how this is going to be so wonderful. And she knew that the biological father's was named Chris. But the three other live-in guys, you know, they were all going to be dad too, and that, you know, it didn't really matter that he was the biological father because they were all going to be dads. Chris, the biological father, even joked, you know, we're in this together, and, you know, we're going to have this endless loop in our home of go ask your dad, go ask your dad, go ask your dad, you know, when this little girl grows up. So, you know, they thought, hey, modern parenting, modern family, what could go wrong?
Why in the world does the consideration of children seem to come second to, I think as you have often pointed out, the desires, the pleasures of the quote-unquote parents?
Well, I didn't talk about it in the article, but my honest answer to that is that sex is God. In our culture, sex is God. And so that comes first. It's the highest priority. And you should sacrifice whatever it takes to get what you want sexually. And so kids are obviously second-tier concern, if they're a concern at all, in that equation. But from a legal standpoint, our courts and our laws have shifted so much towards valuing adult sexual expressionism, even in court cases and in our laws, that we have so prioritized adult emotion and adult desires. We're now redefining the institution of marriage as a result, an institution that used to be one of the most child-friendly forces in the world because it united the two people to whom children had a natural right. So adult desire, especially adult sexual desire, seems to be of the highest value in our culture today.
What do the actual numbers tell us, Katie, about how children fare under non-biologically related adults?
So we have been studying family structure for decades, and this is not a mystery. While we do know heroic step-parents out there, the reality is that non-biological adults tend to be less connected to, less invested in, and less protective of kids. And the reason for the article in the Federalist today is that this baby, who was born into the home of this fivesome, mom, Tori, and her four boyfriends, has been seen at a local hospital for child abuse. And severe child abuse, because as a three-week-old, it looks like she was left in the care of one of the non-biological fathers, and he did the baby great harm. So we know from studies that the most dangerous person in a child's life is mom's cohabiting boyfriend, and this little girl has three of them.
So what would you say to someone who says, this is just an outlier, this is a bad guy, and it just so happened he was in a polyamorous relationship and did this to this child? It's not because it was a non-biological parent.
So there are incredible, like I said, non-biological parents out there. They are the statistical outliers. It's the biological parents who are abusive, right? Those are the statistical outliers. But in general, biological parents are the safest in a child's life. Non-biological, especially cohabiting unmarried parents, are the most unsafe in a child's life. And so this is actually somewhat predictable. Right around the time that this baby was born, I was on the phone with you discussing a different article that I had published in the Federalist, listing, going much more extensively into the research that we have on unions of cohabiting adults and how that increases a child's risk for maltreatment. One of those studies specifically is also listed in this article, and it's specifically on polyamorous homes and how there is more incidences of abuse and neglect in polyamorous homes, specifically because they always involve an unrelated adult.
You have quoted Brad Wilcox, who has said that the most dangerous place for a child is in the home of mom's cohabiting lover. What does he say?
Yeah, he's got a piece, this is a quote, where he summarized data from a massive government database on abuse in kids. And he says that children are 11 times more likely to be sexually, physically, and emotionally abused when they are living in the home of the mother and the mother's boyfriend than they are when they're living with their married biological parents. And he wraps up that article or that quote by saying, children are not just more likely to thrive, but they're more likely to simply survive when they're in the home of their married mother and father. And so it really does become almost a survival issue, as this five-week-old baby now knows firsthand.
Someone might say to you, Katie, you may not intend to, but you're indicting adoptive parents, you're indicting people who have remarried and have a new spouse that's not the biological mother or father. How would you respond?
So let's talk about adoption first. I'm an adoptive mom, and I'm a supporter of adoption. Part of being a supporter of adoption means insisting on extensive vetting and screening of people that would like to take possession of a non-biological child. Social workers aren't fools. The reason why we have those kinds of background checks and home studies, training and supervision and post-placement reports is because people that work with children understand that it is risky to place children in homes of non-biological adults. Adoptive parents like me need to go through that kind of screening and vetting. Anything otherwise is willingly putting a child at risk. Second, sometimes children fare better when mom remarries, but most of the time, statistically, that's not the case. We have a lot of studies on remarriage. And again, sometimes that step parent is stepping into the void of a biological parent who completely neglected their duty and responsibility to the child. But statistically, outcomes for children are stagnant when mom marries an unrelated man. Those children fare about as well as kids that are raised by a lone mother. So again, women who find themselves in a difficult parenting situation where they are a single parent, they need to be incredibly judicious about who they choose to include in their child's life, because it takes more than being in a romantic relationship with a parent for that adult to treat the child as a parent.
Katie, set this in its larger context, if you would, because polyamory is just the latest version of marriage that is being promoted in our society. I don't know what they're going to think of next, but someone will think of something next. Why consistently across the board are these moves rooted in a wrongful understanding of marriage and the place of children in that institution?
Yeah, well, at Them Before Us, we always begin with the rights of the child, and that is that children have a right to be known and loved by both their mother and father. If you begin with that foundational, natural truth and work your way out, you're going to come up with the right answer to all of these different questions, because they're not separate issues. All of these issues, like redefining marriage and polyamorous relationships and even a lot of the reproductive technologies and our ideas about no-fault divorce, all of them stem from a disregard for children's natural right to be known and loved by both their mother and father. And I think you're exactly right. This isn't the end, right? There will constantly be new manifestations, new waves of modern families. People are going to insist that we celebrate, probably in the name of progress, but all of those manifestations of families, right, that go outside of the married mother-father home always compromise the rights of children.
Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Child Abuse is More Likely in Polyamorous Homes, Like the Woman with Four Boyfriends. You can read this column and find out more about Them Before Us at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Katie, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me today.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss psychedelic drugs with a psychology professor and a Lutheran pastor. We'll get a pandemic update with demographer Lyman Stone. On Friday, it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough and Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Overnight, the world has become a strange place. The abnormal has become the new normal.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Every faithful little church is an ark of salvation. With Christ on board, we will get safely to the other side. Be of good courage.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.